Churchill for allowing me to come back. And thank you so much to you as a church for having been praying for us and then at the same time supporting us on a monthly basis. We're glad to be your missionary. It is an honor to represent you both in Haiti and also the Dominican Republic. And so unfortunately tonight I don't have my wife with me, nor my children, so you have to endure me by myself. Okay, so I'm so sorry. Quickly, we had a busy 2022, my goodness, year in the Dominican Republic. Let me give you about four different projects that we did in 2022. We had our Christmas service on December 25th. Our building, by God's grace, it's not like here in the U.S. You can actually move in the building in the Dominican Republic while you find it finished with construction. It's acceptable. It's not against the law. And so the inside of the building is almost complete, not quite. And so we, you know, had this special service, Christmas service coming up. And in my heart, you know, building the building is good. But filling the building, that's another thing. You know, and the reason, the purpose is to reach people, you know. And then I told our guys, man, I said, I would like to see that we can jam-pack this building for the first time, you know, before the year is over. And then we had 340 people inside that building on the 25th of December, and then two salvations, and a tremendous blessing. Now, this is one of the busiest times for us there in the Dominican Republic. This is also a time that my wife, she loved the children in our church, in our community. She raised funds here in the state and also got several churches and different ministries to donate gifts. Little shoe boxes of gifts, and they send that to us, and then we were able to give 120 kids a gift. That was really a tremendous blessing for them for Christmas. The second thing is the building project that I was working on. Now, here's the difference between Haiti, Dominican Republic, and the U.S. I'm the pastor. While this building project is going on, I'm also the supervisor of this project. I'm the one responsible to make all the payroll on a weekly basis. Make sure the employees get paid. I'm ordering all the construction materials that we need. The reason is, and the Dominican Republic is different. If you have a contractor, they're building a building for you, which is a $250,000 U.S. project, you give them the money to do the job, you never see them again. They will leave with the money. So as a result, even though I'm a full-time pastor missionary, I have to sit there all the time, constantly unwatched. Even though I'm there watching them, well, after the electrician wired the building in the middle of the night, how did it happen? We don't know. Somebody walked in the building and stole all the wires out of the building, all of them. Just to say, in the middle of all this havoc and problem, and yet God allowed us to move forward, several churches like you sent financially to this project. By God's grace, we're going to celebrate the 14th year anniversary of our church. And that's in February, this first Sunday of February. We are hoping to be completely done with this building so we can, you know, sent a video back in the state and just kind of share the blessings with churches like this one of what God has done. The third project we've been working on is evangelistic campaign. Now, a brother in Texas sent me 500,000 soul winning tracts. And he sent that to me in October. And the idea was to spread all those tracts before the year is over. That's why I was over the track. Half a million. And so the Lord gave me the idea, the only way that I can really get all this soul winning tracks out, John and Romans also can, is to have an evangelistic campaign and then ask all the churches of like faith to join me. And so we did. We had about 25 churches, fundamental independent Bible-believing Bible Baptist churches got together with us, and they joined us. And the idea was to national pastors just try to go out soul winning for about 4 weeks, And they're not only soul winning, but the church is excited about bringing in visitors. And that works out really good. And so we're still in the middle of it. It's not over yet. And so we are hoping, we're shooting for 2,500 people saved. That's what we would like to see happen. Each church are targeting 100 souls for Christ. And so if you say 100 times 25, that's 2,500. So please be praying for that. A lot of these pastors have already been sending me back pictures. Not only are they winning lost, the lost of Christ, but they're seeing people coming to church getting baptized. They're seeing new members are beginning to join the church. In our church alone, one night here, we had about 56 visitors come to church. And so that is really a huge blessing. Another blessing we had, another project, is that this year, 2022, we were able to plant two new churches in the Dominican Republic. Now, I'm a full-time pastor on the side. I also do missionary work. Okay, so that means I'm working with 25 national pastors. And the idea is this: every year, we would like to plant two new churches a year, one in Haiti and also one in the Dominican Republic. So this year, Brother Barnell, most of you who went to the Dominican Republic, you've met Barnell. So he went out and he started the church. And so this last Sunday, they had 120, if you would. And so that is a tremendous blessing. Now they want me to come as a missionary pastor. They have about 8 people lined up for baptism. And then so once I go in and then plunge them into believers' baptism, now I need you to pray about this. The next step is to buy them a piece of land. And then the next step is to put up a little church building for them. And compared to the expenses here in the state, it's not that much. You can buy a piece of land in the DR for $5,000. You can put up a building for $20,000. And then they are self-sufficient, autonomous, established, if you would, churches. Now, I need you to pray with me. One of the reasons why I like to come back to the U.S. every January is because it gives me the opportunity to kind of get away from the heaviest load that I'm carrying, you know, all the work in Haiti, all the work in the Dominican Republic, kind of stay away, kind of pull away from it and analyze it. What we did good in 2022, we want to repeat that in 2023. What we didn't do good, that was very, very, very bad. We don't want to do the same thing in 2023. And so by being here, it's given me the opportunity to do that. And then so we have a whole lot more that we want to do in 2023. God gave us a tremendous church building. I don't want just to sit, coast through. And we have a lot of young men in our church, a lot of young ladies. We have a lot of teenage young people. And then I really believe that the Lord gave us this opportunity, not just to plant churches in Haiti and also the Dominican Republic. I also believe wherever we have Haitians that spread worldwide, I think you know there's a lot of Haitians coming through Texas to the U.S. I think you see that on TV. You know, Mexico, right? They're just walking through, right? And obviously, you know, they're doing that because they're looking for the better life. And then in the U.S., this is where it is. But you and I, we know they need more than just coming to the U.S. They need the gospel. They need to get saved. There's a good church in Boston. They have, my goodness, I think the preacher told me about 60,000 Haitians living in one community within 30 minutes drive of his church in Boston. So he's asking me to send him at least two of our guys from Haiti, from the Dominican Republic, who are bilingual. They speak Creole, they also speak Spanish. And so I believe this is something the Lord wants us to do, so I'm looking forward to it. And the idea is we want to plant churches wherever there are Haitian people that we can preach the gospel. Pastor Richard, you met him. He came to me maybe about a month ago. There's a lot of Haitians living in Canada. I have a good pastor friend of mine in Canada. But there's really no gospel preaching churches for them. You go to Chile, a lot of Haitians. You go to Brazil, a lot of Haitians. So I'm saying is this, I believe that God gave us the caliber of young people that we have, not so that they can just sit in church. And I believe it is because God wants us to train them, teach them, and help them to go beyond the island of Hispaniola and plant more churches in for Christ. So keep praying for us, and then please keep supporting us. My goodness, the ministry is growing. If nothing else, don't cut my support off. I want you to add to it, you know, because there's more work going on. And then so my wife is doing very well. BJ, we dropped him off last week at Highs and Listen. He's excited. He's being trained. He wants to be a missionary. I'm hoping God will give him clear direction into what he wants him to do with his life. And then so thank you so much for your friendship as a church, as a pastor. It is an honor to be here. And open your Bibles with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. I'm going to read just one verse for tonight, and then we're going to get into the scripture, the introduction, eventually the message for tonight. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. The Bible says this: then had the churches the rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were, I want you to notice the word, multiplied. When the apostle Saul, he was not yet an apostle. We call him the Apostle Paul, but at one time in his life, we know that he was Saul, which means he was unsaved. He was not yet a believer. And as we read in the scripture, we see when Paul was Saul, but not yet saved, the Bible says he was one of the greatest problems to the church back, if you would, in this day. He, as we see in the scripture, was a persecutor of the church. The Bible says so much that he was so zealous, believing that the Christians, the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ were liars. They were preaching heretic. When they claimed that this man named Jesus actually rose up from the dead, Saul did not believe that. And as the Bible, as we see in the scripture, one, if you would, of the reason that Saul was so fervent and adamant about persecuting the Christians was this particular claim that they had that Jesus actually rose from the dead and that he is a living Savior. And the fact that he's in heaven with his Heavenly Father. And mankind can get saved because they can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and then he will save them. And as the believers, Christians, were preaching this message, as you know the scripture, many of them who were part of the religion of the Pharisees actually left that religion and came to Christianity. And if you saw back in those days before he became Paul, and his fervency and his, if you would, desire to shock those Christians and believers, the Bible says he went to the chief priests and asked for permission to seek for them wherever they were. And when he found them, not only would he, if you would, arrest them, but also he would drag them and put them in prison and make, if you would, their lives difficult. And his entire focus was to shut them up. And the Bible says he was a problem to the church. Now listen to this. As a result, the church was scattered, the Christians were running, they were in hiding. As a result, the Christians could not meet in one place together to be able to hear the teaching, the preaching of God's word. The Christians, the believers could not meet where they can sing in unity. And if you would, and the Holy Spirit can minister into their soul. There was no rest. There was, if you would, no peace among them. Everybody was trying to run, if you would, for their lives. And the work that the Holy Spirit desired to do, which was comforting them, he could not do it. But now listen, as we know, if you would, as the Bible says, while Saul was on his way to Damascus, something happened to him when Christ actually met, if you would, Saul face to face, and Saul, to make a long story short, the Bible says got saved. But now looking in this text we read tonight, when he got saved, four things happened, the Bible says, to the local church. Number one is this: God gave less if you went to the local church. Why? Because the men that was making their lives, if you were difficult, now he became part of them. The men that actually caused them the most, if you would, headache, now he was a part, if you would, of the local church, helping them to preach the gospel. Now, the troubled mind that they had was no longer, if you would, in existence. Number two, God gave the church the ability to walk in the fear of the Lord. In other words, when they saw what God did to Saul, the church, when they realized what God did to, if you would, to Saul, that gave would the church, if you would, a greater fear, in, if you would, in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they didn't have to pick up a sword to go and fight, if you for themselves. They didn't have, if you would, to defend, if you would, the church. They saw the living Savior himself came down from heaven and defend the church. And that gave them, if you would, a greater fear, if you would, in Christ. Number three, the Bible says this, God gave edification to the church. Why? Because at this moment now, they are able to come together in one place to be able to sing, to worship, as we do in this church tonight. And then number four, the Bible says, God gave them comfort in the Holy Spirit. And the outcome, look at this, the outcome is, the Bible says, the church were multiplied. So that means in Judea and Samaria, if there was about 30 churches after the apostle, if after Saul became an apostle, after he got saved, now they had about 60 churches. If they had 60 churches before Saul got saved, after his salvation, now they had, if you would, 120. If they had 120 after he got saved, if you would, the Bible says, the church, if you would, multiply. Now, I want to say tonight, my message is there is a reason why God gave rest to the local church. In our mind and heart and spirit and soul, many times we misunderstand the purpose as to why God desired to give us a rest. Folks, tonight, the purpose of rest is not so we can be lazy. The purpose of rest is not so we can go to sleep. The purpose of rest is not so we can just, if you would, lay back. Now, listen to me. There is a reason. The reason number one is this. God wants, if you would, the church to multiply. In other words, what he's saying is this, I'm going to give you rest so that the church can have the peace that it needs for one reason, and that is this, God wants us to go forward. In the Dominican Republic, when the national band there to visit, I just wasn't followed, and I was able to save $60,000 for building projects when I was on follow. As I travel, as I preach for churches, they would give me love offerings. I would leave on the love offering and follow and then save our monthly support for the building project. But I also knew that this engineer gave me this building plan. It was going to cost me $250,000. So I didn't have enough money to begin a building. So when I went back to the Dominican Republic, my goal was in 2023, we're going to begin our building project because I'm going to save money in 2021, save in 2022, and then by 2023, I will have at least $150,000 in the bank. That was my plan. But the problem was, when we got back, there was a bar, a church. Our church is on this side of the street, right across the street from us. This fellow said, of nowhere. He wanted to open up a bar. And he put it right across the church. And the DI, when they play music, they don't play the music low, you know. The quietness, they blur the music so loud. You can even hear yourself talking. So this bar become a problem to us. We can't meet on Sunday morning. We go and talk to them, beg them, please, would you turn the music down? No. Sunday night, no. We went to the police. They cannot help us. We didn't know it because the owner of the bar was giving a cut to the police to keep the bar open. So we went to complain to them. They didn't want to help us. Then we went to the judge. The judge didn't want to help us either. Well, I'm thinking, what are we going to do? This is this gift to the Father. And it dawned on me, the Lord is telling me, well, you have the land sitting. You have $60,000 in the bank. Why don't you go forward? Why don't you begin to build? And that's exactly what we did. When we begin to build, listen to what I'm about to say. When we begin to build, we had to move the church, and then I'm finished building. And as we begin at this building, and it dawned on me, the reason and the purpose why God wanted to give us rest. As Brother Nestle, if you would mention, we have tremendous relationship with the Haitian pastors, and also Dominican pastors in the Dominican Republic in Haiti. But the idea that God wanted us to, if you would, put this thing in fifth gear, and to go out and try to multiply the amount of churches that we had was never, if you would, in my mind. And as I realized that as God gave us rest, and we had this, if you would, mission program, church planting. One of our young men, his name is Barnell. He came forward, he surrendered. He wanted to go out, if you would, and plant a church. He went to Palmar de Ocoa visiting. The first week he saw about 20 people saved. All of those, if you were 20 people, five began to come to church. And then the next month he kept going. As I mentioned, last Sunday he had 120. Haiti called me, they started, if you were three churches in Haiti. And then it done on me, the reason and the purpose why God wanted to give us rest, it's not so that way. If you would, I can rest. I can just lay back. I can just go to sleep. I can just, if you would, take it easy. God had a reason and a purpose. Why? What is it? The churches, if you would, needed to multiply. So therefore, tonight, if we want to multiply, there is, if you would, three things that we have got to have, if you would, in order for us, if you would, to multiply. When I say again, multiply, I'm talking about again, a God's church, if you're going forward to reproduce, if you would, yourself, if you're God's church, if you would, going forward, training, raising young men, young ladies, to go out and preach the gospel of the Lord, if you would, Jesus Christ. In order for us to multiply, number one, we need problems. It's very simple. Number one is we need problems. Listen, it was in the middle of the problem as Saul was, if you would, a problem to the church, causing them all kind of grief, headache, if you would, havoc, the Bible says, causing them not to be able to, if you would, stay in one place to worship, if you would, problem that causes them to leave, if you would, almost in fear. Now listen now, this it was in the middle of this problem that they were able to see number two, here it is, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that it is in problems, difficulties, and hardships, things that we cannot solve, if you would, ourselves, we will get to see that the living Savior, Christ Jesus, whom we say is alive, are you listening? He is really alive. You know, last week, and maybe in our church, our theme for the Christmas project was Excellencia. Hope. Esperas. That's the first word. The reason we choose that word is because they saw all year long how we prayed, Lord, we have no money. Please provide. Please provide. Please provide. And they see me over and over again every Thursday night. Folks, we don't have any money, but we got faith. Let's get on our knees and let's pray. And then every time the construction project was about to come to an end, somebody sent 10,000, somebody sent 5,000, somebody sent 15,000. What I'm saying is this, the problems and the difficulties they can see, the ease in leaving Christ, in leaving if you would, a Savior. In order for us to multiply, we have got to see, we have got to realize that when we say that Jesus, if you would, die, buried, and rose from the dead, when we say that he is alive, he's not dead, he rose, we must see his power, if you would, in actions, if you would, in front of us. And thirdly, what we need in order for us to grow is this, we need the rest. You know, during the pandemic, I was here in the state. I was traveling. I was, in fact, in West Virginia when COVID-19 hit. Pastor Mike Lamb, You know, he gave us a place to stay, you know, a man in his church. And I remember, and the Melo, if you would have this problem, are you listening, folks? Obviously, things were chaotic. Life was upside down. Everybody was scared to death, wondering what is going to happen. Also, he was in the middle of this problem. Most Christians learned to spend time with God. Do you remember that? We could not go to church. We were at home. You remember that, how we got our Bibles, got on our knees and our face, began to pray, and that God was able to see us afloat. Now listen, now the pandemic is over. Now we have rest. Are you listening to me? Now that we have rest, there is a reason why God gave us rest. And Haiti, look what the Bible says in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And now listen, now, it was in the road of Damascus when Christ called the Apostle Paul. It was for the purpose for him to be a witness, if you would, among the Gentiles. What I'm saying is this, here in the U.S., you must get out of the mindset of just simply being comfortable. You must get out of the mindset to understand that there is a dying, if you will, world out there that needs, if you will, churches, that needs, if you will, gospel preaching, missionaries. It is churches like you that God wants to understand the reason he gives you less. It's not so you can do less. It's not so you can, if you coast through, but God, it is so that we can do a whole lot more for God in this year in which that we are in. There is a reason why he gave us less. It is not so we can just say, man, life is good. No, he wants you to multiply for his glory, not in praise. Multiplication is a good thing. It is a good thing. Every businessman loves multiplication when it comes to make money. If I made $20,000 last year, man, I would love to make 40 this year. If I made a profit of $40,000 last year, man, it would be wonderful to make 80 this year. You know what God is saying? If he had maybe 40 missionaries last year, it would be wonderful to have 80 people. If the missionary sent words back, hey, we planted 10 churches last year. Maybe this year they can take 20. And that's why we give you less than the U.S. And praise God for the rest. You should enjoy the rest. Driving your car, going home, and going to work, and having stability of life. And then, you know, eating the good mashed potato and gravy, and, you know, and the T-bone steak. And praise God for that, man. And enjoy it. And if God wants you to have that, but in the middle of it, but you need to understand, why did he give us this rest? So you can multiply. Wouldn't it be wonderful? This year, next year, if three of you Baptists could multiply the attendance of the church. I don't know how many you have, but it's a good group here tonight. Instead of 120 and 50 or 200, you can be up to 400. The way God will do it, he will send the problem. The problem is a good thing sometimes. Because it causes you to pray. It causes you to see God. It causes you to see God come before you, his power and ability. That he's real, he's not dead. He's really a living Savior. Number three, rest. Once you go through the problem, then let's get busy. Let's get to work. I was reading the scripture in my conclusion. David, the Bible said, was speaking to Solomon about the temple that he desired to build for God. As you know the story, God told David, you're not the man to build the temple, but your son Solomon will build the temple. Before David died, he gathered all the materials together for the construction. And he had one less word with Solomon. He said, son, he says, look, I've gathered all the material that you need to be able to get this a temple built for God. And I like what he said in the chapter. He says, now that you have the materials, he says, get busy doing it. Now you have what you need right in front of you. The money, the materials, everything that you need. Get busy, get with it. What I'm saying is this, folks. If God gives you rest, the reason, the purpose to give you rest is so that we can get busy and multiply for the glory and the honor of God. And so, Judea, Samaria, this fellow called Saul was one of the greatest prophets. They could not live in peace. They could not meet together. They could not sing. They could not grow. The church started. But once Saul got saved, the Christians were able to get together. Now they can sing. Now they have peace. Now they have love. And because of it, the church is multiplied. So tonight, I hope you understand the reason and the purpose why God gives you that is so that we can multiply. Would you please bow your head and pray, God? Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you so much, Lord, for every time that I come back here in the Mississippi area to be able to visit Cleve Youth Baptist and to see them steady and solid and going forward for the glory and the honor and the praise of God. And tonight we ask and pray that, Lord, your hands of blessing, of mercy, of grace will continue to be on this church. Lord, give them rest from whatever problems and hardships, difficulties. No doubt, Lord, there are some saints and Christians that are going through problems in their own individual personal lives. And Lord, it is you that they need to see, that we need to see, that gives them, Lord, the solutions that they are looking for. At the same time, I ask and pray you give the saints, the Christians, insight. To understand that when they have peace, when life is so good and kind and gracious to them, when they are able to meet together to sing and to worship, and Lord, to be taught the word of God and to begin to grow spiritually, you have, Lord, a plan in mind. You have a purpose. And that is, Lord, you want your church to multiply. And I ask and pray tonight, Father, perhaps some young men and this church will desire to go out and plant a church here in the U.S. to be sent out of Cleve Youth Baptist. Instead of having one, maybe we can have two, or three, or four, or five, or six. But help us to understand, your plan is never for us